Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
WGN, it's the bonus hour, and we have celebrity chef Graham Elliott.
Can you hear anything?
I hear Target.
Oh, boy.
We'll switch that up. Hold on a second.
Yep, hold on.
There you go.
How's that? Can you hear us now?
Yeah. Thank you.
It's good to be here. Okay. Celebrity chef Graham Elliott is here. You said something off the air that really hit home. It's not about the food with Thanksgiving. It's about a number of things. And you wanted to talk about music. And what else did you bring
up? Yeah. So think about it, right? You're doing a holiday party. You're having people come over. It's like your chance to share this amazing energy and beauty and, you know, family time, but also show who you are. So I think that that's what's important is, you know, are you going to have the game on? Are you going to be playing music? You know, is it holiday music or is it like some killer 80s soundtrack, you know, that people can sing along
to? Like, what are you into that week or that month? Like, what's playing in your headphones?
Exactly. So, you know, how do you set that tone so people come in and they're not intimidated or they're feeling like laid back? You know, what's the drink? Are you going to have champagne and celebrate, or are you going to make like some killer cranberry punch, you know, that's
like a signature cocktail
with rosemary in it?
Yeah.
Just however you're feeling. Like, think of this ingredients right now: rosemary, nutmeg, and allspice, like we just talked about, you know, fall baking spices. Do you do something with maple? Are you going cranberry? Like, okay, there's food, there's family, there's TV, there's music, there's drink. Like, how can you elevate all of that?
Right.
I love that, because not only, I mean, we spend a lot of time cooking and you're in that kitchen for days and days and prepping the meal for everybody, but it's also about like the right arm extension of what goes on in that table. So it's the decor, it's the vibe, it's the lighting.
Right.
Can you have music and lighting and cool stuff in one room and then the game on in the other?
I was just going to say, that's the way it happens at my mom's house.
I think that you can totally have a different set, because the other thing is you want people to feel comfortable. So if I have family coming over, there's some people that are friends that maybe, you know, are a little more reserved. They're maybe going to feel uncomfortable hanging out with like the tough guys watching football. So give them their own spot.
Yes.
Give the tough football people their spot to go get coffee versus making them sit in the kitchen where they really don't want to be. So you just kind of have these little caves, you know, man cave, nerdy cave, you know, quiet introverted cave.
Kitchen cave.
Kitchen cave, you know, and again, drinks, music, you know, decor, like you just said, Jane. Like, I have, you know, three boys right now in school. It's all about, you know, making weird little turkey pictures and drawing.
Oh,
like, put that stuff all over.
Oh, that's cute.
And
with the hand is the turkey and the thumb becomes the head.
Yeah, or like, you know, my son Jed just brought back like a paper bag where it's like feathers glued to it and, you know, things like that.
It's like a puppet.
Yeah, totally.
And you know what I love to do, and you maybe want to steal this idea, but have all the kids create puppets, and maybe they're pilgrims and Indians and turkeys and whatever, whatever your theme is, people in the family. Mm-hmm. And then the kids have to make these little puppets, and because the kids get bored at anything, send them away and they have to write a story. And then they come back and they perform puppetry for the entire family.
Wow, that's a great idea.
Such a good idea.
Because it keeps them occupied. It keeps them creative, not only like arts and craftsy, but also writing, you know, and then being in front of people.
So what's really creepy right now is my kids' favorite holiday is Halloween, and they don't watch scary movies, but they see all the trailers on iPad. So right now, my son Conrad's walking around with like a huge fake cardboard machete and a Jason mask. And then, you know, my other son is walking around with a plastic knife calling himself Michael Myers. Like, all they want to do is be like weird, creepy horror film people. So it's going to be a weird Thanksgiving.
I'm trying to think. I need to put together a new Spotify list for Thanksgiving. I was just going to bring a normal one, but I got to spice it up.
Yeah.
Don't I?
I think you do. And I think, again, think of karaoke, right? When you go, you can be like the weird emo person that plays music that no one likes, but like you love it and understand it. Don't be that guy.
I play to the masses.
That's
you
what
gotta
saying.
Play to the masses.
If you want people comfy, or if you're doing karaoke and you want people to sing along, you go Journey, you go Bon Jovi, you go Queen, you know what I mean?
What do you open up with? Everybody's got a song for Thanksgiving. What do you open up with? Brown Sugar, Rolling Stones. That's mine.
Oh, that's really good.
I mean, come on.
That's great.
That's a good one.
Lot of brown sugar use.
And Rolling Stones just announced that they're playing Soldier Field next summer.
June 21st.
I've already got it on my calendar.
Tickets go on sale November 30th.
Really?
There is no other bigger Stones fan than my wife.
Really?
We've seen every show.
I've never seen them.
What?
Oh.
Last awesome concert I went to was Smashing Pumpkins. Because I'm a huge Smashing Pumpkins Billy Corgan fan, but I've never seen
You've met Billy, right?
I have.
Yeah, I figured. Because you're both local.
Right.
Yeah. You're both, you know.
Isn't he the greatest guy?
Yeah.
He's awesome. But, I mean, here's the thing, right? Think about, and this is going off subject, early 90s, like 92 to 94, you had what they called alternative music. And it was all lumped together where it's, okay, Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, and Smashing Pumpkins are all the same.
Yeah.
Go back and listen now. They're nothing alike. But every band, I feel like, indie rock, you know, all these bands since, all ripped off Smashing Pumpkins' Siamese Dream, where it's all soft and pretty, and then super heavy guitar.
Yeah,
and soft,
I can see that.
But a lot of those artists will say that that was their inspiration.
Right.
Billy Corgan was their inspiration, and that is why they wrote the music they wrote.
And this is what I went and looked at. From Gish, Siamese Dream, and then Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, he wrote all of those before, like, age 27. All of, like, double
Crazy.
Album and two other albums. Playing all the instruments.
Isn't that genius?
And who was
that's
like,
genius.
It's genius, and it makes you think, okay, I'm 41. I've done nothing in my life. Like, this guy could
if
retire.
If you've done nothing, my life's in the toilet.
You won the pumpkin pie contest.
Yeah.
You're a winner.
You know, I'm going to never hear the end of
ever.
This. It is going to be February, and he's going to be like, you know what? But I won that pumpkin pie contest.
Who is Billy Corgan's influence?
He was a big fan of, I know he liked Jane's Addiction, but that was like too similar. You know what I mean? Like,
who did he grow up listening to?
Yeah.
And loving.
The Pixies?
No.
Cheap
I
Trick.
Love the Pixies.
Yes, you're right.
He and Rick Nielsen became friends, and
That's rad.
Yeah. Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick.
Well, I know that Kurt Cobain's influence were the Pixies.
I feel like...
You're right.
You know, you talk about that era. I feel like you either love Nirvana or you love Pearl Jam. I know you like both, but you got to pick a band. Jane's Nirvana, I'm a Pearl Jam guy.
Pearl Jam saved my life. Like, I was in the darkest, depressed place
Nirvana
ever.
Saved my life.
I saw Nirvana in D.C. Listen to this. Saw Nirvana in D.C. at American University, and the Breeders opened up. And I was not a Nirvana fan, but literally the day of the show, a friend called and said,
like
I have an extra ticket.
1992, 91?
No, this is November 93.
Yeah, okay.
Here's this. I watch him, and it absolutely changed my perspective on him. Like, live, I was like, this is sick. They're great. Then I saw Pearl Jam at George Mason University on the day Kurt Cobain died.
Whoa.
Oh, geez.
Stage was full of candles. Wow. Eddie Vedder said, like, if we stop mid-show, you know why, and then just crushed it. And again, I was super depressed when Versus came out and, like, learned every word, every song, everything.
Wow. And it meant something to you.
Oh, my God. That's what taught me to learn guitar. I picked it up and started playing
too.
Because of that.
Mine because of Kurt Cobain. If Kurt can play guitar, so can I.
And I learned Green Day and Nirvana songs because they're all like three chords
and
power chords. And
I love
that's
Green
how I
Day
learned.
Too.
That is what's special about music. You hear a song and it'll take you back to that place in time.
100%.
That's what I love.
And I love Pearl Jam, but you're right. I feel like you have to pick, and I pick Nirvana. And I still love to go see Pearl Jam because I obviously can't see Nirvana.
But for me, Nirvana, like In Utero, is one of my favorite albums. Like, I'm not a huge Nirvana fan, but I'm a major fan of that album because it's so different than Nevermind.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think of Heart-Shaped Box and the song and the video, like that album was great.
I will just play Nirvana and like sit at my sewing machine, which is a total oxymoron, right? So I'm like sewing floral tablescapes and I'm like just rocking out to Nirvana.
That's so great. But you mentioned Pixies, and I have Pixies on such a heavy rotate. Probably at least every other week I'm listening to like the big Pixies
playlist.
See, I was
never a Pixies guy.
It's incredible how every generation, there's a band that like you can listen to whenever, and it still sounds as fresh as that day. Like, and this is not some major label big band that crushed it. You know what I mean? This is like college radio.
Mm-hmm.
Not many people knew, you know, like REM was way more popular than the Pixies, and they were still kind of, you know, quote unquote underground.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Pixies, go back and listen to like Valoria or, you know, just any of those songs.
Well,
Wave of Mutilation.
Yes.
Like, all of these songs are Debaser.
The
opening of that song, Doolittle.
Bruce Springsteen. Can we talk about the greatest singer-songwriter of our generation?
Here's my thing with Bruce Springsteen. Yeah. I feel Bruce Springsteen plays the role of Bruce Springsteen. Like, you know,
Wendy, let me in. I want to be your friend.
Like that whole thing?
Him.
Yeah. Right? Okay. Bruce Springsteen, if he put out the song Born to Run and Thunder Road, he could retire and leave. And I feel like he left his mark. I love those two songs. I don't love anything else that Bruce Springsteen ever recorded.
Don't even. Cut
Pete,
it out.
Why do you love Bruce Springsteen so much?
Because
give me three reasons.
I grew
you
up.
You like to dance in the dark?
Yes, I do. Naked. It was passed down through my family. Brother Ed was a big fan, and it brings back great memories of when I was in fourth and fifth grade, and they'd be playing the music off a turntable in the basement. And then when I got to college, I started going to see Bruce Springsteen.
See, I heard you have to see him live.
It becomes an event.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've never seen him, but everyone says
I've never seen him live. You know,
50 times.
What?
Stop.
54. To be exact.
54?
54
times. How many different cities have you gone to see?
Milwaukee, Indianapolis. I've seen him every show that he's played in Chicago.
Have you gone to the play in New York?
I have not. And I had a buddy that just went, and he called me. He's like, you got to find a way because it ends the 31st. Because
no way.
It's a storyteller. I wish more artists would do this just to tell stories. Like an Eddie Vedder. If Eddie would just tell the stories of how you wrote the song
and how
you grew up. And that's what Bruce does. That's why it's so big right now.
I heard my friend just went and said it was amazing.
Right.
Like you said, it's his story, his music, and it's just who he is.
It's super entertaining.
You've got to imagine how intimate that
is. Sure.
And like you said, any music, even if they're not singing anything, just someone that you respect.
Steve Perry.
Perry's my God. I just did an interview, and it's like, what's your favorite album of the year? And I said Steve Perry, because he hasn't put a song out in 25 years. He just put out this album. His voice is...
Graham, Jane was out of town. We had an interview with Steve Perry, the only one in Chicago.
How did I not know? I talked to his agent offering to cook for him.
You're kidding.
I was like, I want to cook for you just because you've never found a bigger Steve Perry fan ever.
I felt like I was talking to a best friend that I haven't seen or heard of in 25 years. It was unbelievable. He's so personable. And every song...
I'm dying.
Everything he said was a story. And... I said faithfully, it took me back to sophomore year in high school where I was making out with a girl named Chris in Karen Cicerelli's basement. Because you hear those songs faithfully, they're Karen Cicerelli's basement.
Yep. I remember the video where he shaves the mustache. Remember that part in Faithfully? Like you know.
Oh my gosh,
that,
you're right.
And to be able to, you know, you go from the whoa to when he starts screaming faithfully and I'm forever, you're like hitting those notes and it's not falsetto. And then the sustain and Neil Sean's playing the guitar at the same time. Like, I know that they have Arnell who's, you know, got a great story and he can hit the notes. Steve Perry is Journey. He wrote those.
Yes.
And now he put
is
out
Journey.
I just think about dancing in those grade school homecoming dances and hearing it.
I mean, and then think of the solo album.
No.
You have Sherry, Foolish Heart.
Strung Out.
Like, totally.
Great
and
tune.
Now his new album is called Traces, and the first song is No Erasin'. Go look that up on YouTube.
It's a great song.
It's so good. And again, first one he's done in 25 years, and people are like, I don't know if he still has it. He's incredible. And he just crushes.
I'm going to send you the link.
Cook for him. Why are you not cooking for
him? I never heard back. But like,
I got a guy. We'll fix it up.
That's incredible.
Oh, it's going to happen.
Because everyone knows that, you know, Steve Perry. Like I told you, I just did an interview, and they're like, "What's your favorite album of the year?" And that's what I said. And I'm like, "It's not silly. It's not like I just love Don't Stop Believing. Like I know the entire Journey catalog.
You're going to cook. You're going to cook for him. And Pete, you make the pumpkin pie.
I can do that.
Done.
Can we talk about Rush? Because that is the band that I grew up with. When disco was dead, then I was a little kid, and my cousins would always play Rush and Tom Sawyer and 2112. Yes.
Here's the thing.
I was one of five girls at the concert every time.
I research bands and get into it, and I'm trying to think. There's one song where it's like Spirit of Music.
Spirit of the Radio.
Yeah. I love that song.
Spirit of the Radio is their best song.
Okay,
in my
opinion. I love that one.
Right.
But I don't like a lot of the other ones.
Seven minutes.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know their other stuff.
That's so good.
I got to respect it. But here's the thing is I told someone once that I don't like Geddy Lee's voice. And what they said was, here's the thing. You know Geddy Lee's voice enough to not like it.
Yeah, you're right.
It doesn't sound like anyone else. Like, you know what I mean? You listen to it and you know.
But
I thought that was really
women
cool.
Women hate Rush. It's interesting that they're
Rush.
Your favorite rock band.
I love Rush.
When I came up through college, I worked
I know
in rock radio, and Rush to me is work. Pink Floyd, hearing Pink Floyd is work.
Okay.
So when I hear that, I think of work.
Oh.
My dad took me to see Pink Floyd in D.C. in 94 for the Division Bell Tour.
Oh, wow.
That was rad because I thought if my dad liked it, then it probably sucked. You know, because dad music is just... okay. So I went, and it was like so many young people. And then you know these songs, and David Gilmour on guitar, like... It was fascinating. It was so cool.
I saw The Wall when they came to the United Center. Right. And it's great.
No way.
But it could be a Broadway play, really. Mm-hmm. It could be on Broadway.
Yeah, because you feel like you're watching
but
a play.
But it was awesome. Yeah.
So if you could see any band, you know, past, present, whatever, who would you want to see? And if you can go the next step, where and when?
Oh. You know what? Somebody, Kurt just gave me a list. If you could see any artist, performer, who would it be? And then he was reading, you know, like Whitney Houston, Kurt Cobain, The Doors, Mozart, and he went down this list. Then the list became to be like 25 people. Like, oh, that's too long. I can't pick out of that list. But I mean, because I would love to see Mozart, but I would also love to see, you know, there's a lot of bands I would want to see.
Well, let's talk about artists that are alive right now. If you could pick a city and an artist, where would you go? I would say Springsteen at Madison Square Garden because I've never been to Madison Square Garden and I love Springsteen.
Madison Square Garden is a great place to see a concert. I just saw Maroon 5 there. It's intimate.
Been.
It's so
great. Me either.
Never been.
Billy Joel is playing there on Valentine's Day.
Really?
He just had a residency there.
Yeah.
Right.
I read an interview. Billy Joel said he's done with music because he never wanted to go tour and somehow had this deal with Madison Square Garden because he like lives on Long Island where it's like, you just come down when you want, like once a month to do something. He was like, awesome. Okay. Yeah, done. And then it took 20 years for him to like figure that deal out.
Right.
Now he plays.
He's had to do an interview and say it out loud.
Man, I don't, like, I'm trying to think. Who would I want to see now?
So, I mean, think of all the new music that's out there that we love. So would you go new music or would you go old music?
I saw the Rolling Stones at the Aragon Ballroom when they were doing that. They do a small venue and, of course, they play Soldier Field. It was unbelievable.
Okay, so it has to be a band that's still
playing. Yes, because I want
the Smiths or the Talking Heads because they're alive, but they're not playing, you know, but... Oh man, so go past. You know what I mean? Like for me, it would either be Michael Jackson Bad Tour 88.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Or Queen at Wembley, or it would have to be like Jackson or James Brown at the Apollo in like 68.
I'm going, that's what I'm saying.
Like it would have to be.
You just made all that up too, because I'm going to all those shows.
That's what I'd want. But right now, if it was a band, like I get to do Lala and everything every year. There's no band that I feel I haven't seen or even cooked for. Well, you know what I mean? Like
hold that thought.
All right.
Because Ryan's here. And you're gonna do news.
Ryan,
I'm assuming.
Who do you
want
to see, Ryan?
I gotta tell you, I'm a huge Foo Fighters fan, and I
saw Foo Fighters at Wrigley Field.
It was
amazing. And he had Dave Grohl had
a broken foot. I was at that show.
He had to seatbelt him into his seat. He had so much energy. That was awesome.
I love the Foo.
We cooked for him at Lala, and he was so pissed at, you know, pretending to be pissed because he was like, "You chefs are now like the rock stars, like pushing us
because you took over his fame."
He's so funny.
He was
so hilarious. Yeah. We like loved him.
Yeah. It was great. I saw Linkin Park obviously before
Chester
died. So I'm glad I got that one in. But never saw the Beastie Boys. I think that would have been a good one. You can kind of see where my generation is.
No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
You got
it. I love it. All right, let me take a quick break. Ryan's coming up with the news. Graham Elliott, you're not leaving. We're just gonna keep you around.
Never.
It's 720 WGN. 20 WGN, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris, WGNradio.com. Graham Elliott is here, celebrity chef. We're talking about raking leaves. When you have the bags, and how do you get the leaves from the ground to the bag?
So you have to have something to hold the bag, right? Like two things, so that it's almost like a triangle or a kid. And then you take the two rakes and scoop like a giant claw. Mm-mm. And then dump.
Like salad tongs.
Exactly.
I don't want to tell you guys this, but I use a snow shovel. And there's got to be a way that you can patent that. Because the snow shovel, you scoop it with the snow shovel, put the rake on top, and just drop it in.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
I've got Wolverine claws. No, it's this yellow thing.
Adamantium.
You put them on. You put one on one hand, one on the other. It's like it's like these big wide hands mitts with claws at the end of it, and you scoop them up that way. I bought it at Ace Hardware.
Like that's
scissor
great.
Drop them in. Yeah, I mean it's not. It's more plasticky, but yeah, that's what
it's
I
like
use.
It's like having two rakes on your hands.
Exactly.
But easy, more movable because it's your arm.
I just want it to have
the best $8
around.
Freddy Krueger landscaping company.
And it doubles as a Halloween costume for next year.
Love it. Boy, we've discussed everything. I want to get back to music for a second. When did you get involved with Lollapalooza?
So that would have been 2009.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's, so yeah, next year, 10 years.
So you're just cooking the entire weekend? Are you enjoying music?
I get to do both. So we help oversee the, what they call Chowtown, where we choose all the restaurants that are going to offer food.
Oh,
and then we get to cook.
Chowtown?
Like, so we get like 100 people that want to do it. We pick 20 or so and then meet with them and tell them, you know, here's what you need for equipment and here's what we've seen work as far as dishes. Like, we sell 20,000 lobster corn dogs over a three-day weekend. So clearly people like fried food on a stick.
Yeah.
You know, so someone else
it's
like
Chicago. Right, you don't need a plate. It's on a stick.
But then you have people that are like, I want to do like scallop ceviche. And we're like, no one's going to eat that.
In the hot sun.
That's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm saying.
What?
So we try to help them. And then we get to cook for the headliners. So, you know, to cook for The Weeknd and Eminem.
Super
Kings
cool.
of Leon. Totally.
So you're the official chef of Lollapalooza?
Yeah,
or is this
culinary director.
Oh, excuse me. Is it your restaurant group or is it just a bunch
of
different?
Just, yeah, okay. It's just me and my partner Merlin who.
How does that happen?
Together.
How do you scam
Graham
that?
Elliott.
He
probably called him up and asked.
Nope. Remember, all chefs are failed rock stars. Like, right? So I used to sing and play guitar.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So. We play, you know, at the restaurant, we just played crazy music that we felt like. And I think that Perry and Charlie Jones from C3, they came in to dinner and it was, hey, you know, we want to have the food be just as cool as the music and keep it kind of local. You know, could you help? What do you want to do? And so we did it. And then it's just every year kind of the handshake. Hey,
God, that's great.
So then you just pick and choose sort of the other chefs and the other restaurants that want to be a part of it.
Right.
That's great.
Like we were just saying, Jeff Morrow, if he said all of a sudden, like, hey, I'd love to do like a pork and mini, he'd be like, awesome. We'd love to have you there. Let's do it.
Why would they say no to that?
Yeah. Or why would we say no? Like,
exactly.
We'd love to do something like that.
So, Pete, you have two connections to make. You got to do the pork and mini connection with Jeff.
Yes.
And then also the Steve Perry connection.
Yes.
So Graham can cook for Steve.
I'm
just taking notes of all your to-do.
Have you been to Lollapalooza, Jane?
I've been to every Lollapalooza since they started at the World Music Theater in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
When I was wearing a trucker shirt and jelly shoes. Oh, yeah. I'm alternative.
Acting like you're not wearing that right now. I know you're wearing it, but you can't see.
The jelly shoes.
I'm wearing the jelly shoes.
Like the dude in Big Lebowski,
yeah.
Right?
Oh,
yeah.
The dude.
The jellies.
Yes, I love that movie.
This aggression will not stand.
You can't miss Lollapalooza. I mean, it's a must-go-to event, and now that it's right here in our lakefront, it makes it so much easier and better.
Not even a five-minute walk from you guys.
Yeah.
It's so easy. I love Lollapalooza because you get to experience new music, and for some reason, the Tito's area was right in front of one of the stages, and I saw James Bay. Who I've never heard of. And James Bay is just a normal singer-songwriter. And I just love the guy. And he's coming back on tour to Chicago. And I can't wait to see him. Another band, Greta Van Fleet. Have you heard of Greta Van Fleet?
Yeah, it's like Greta Van Zeppelin, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They sound exactly like Led Zeppelin.
That's what I heard.
That's so cool.
Oh, my gosh. They're playing the Aragon Ballroom on December 12th. I'm going to go to that show.
That's
so, you know,
show.
Like, and again, I never, ever, whether it's TV or like Lala, take any of it for granted, right? Because somehow chefs are cool right now.
Yeah.
But they could immediately go back to just being
that's why you're special. Seriously.
No, but I mean,
you're humble.
I know every song of Vampire Weekends. Like, I love them. They're the happiest, poppiest thing. I'm sitting like 5 feet from them on the stage watching, and then we cook for them after, and like, Ezra the singer is like, hey, hang out. Let's all just chat and hang. And it's like, this is the coolest thing ever. Or seeing Metallica.
But you're a fan, and that's what's cool.
That's what I mean.
Because people are fans of yours.
Yeah,
and you get the same thing at the restaurant. People walk in, it's Graham here, it's Graham here, it's Graham here. And you get the same thing.
And it's absolute blessing. And so seeing Metallica, and I have a copy of the set list, and I'm watching the crowd knowing that Enter Sandman's next. And I'm just
God.
I feel like I'm in the band, like the sixth member. I'm like, you guys in the crowd, I want to tell you so bad. But like, and then it starts. And people lose their mind. And I'm...
I want to go to a rock show with Graham.
God, I'd love it.
It's so good.
Did you see McCartney a few years ago?
Oh, yes, of course. I brought
the
in-laws.
He's so good.
The best. And you talk about humble. You watch that guy in any interview. He's just the greatest. And you think of the history of the Beatles, but he just put a new album out like 4 months ago.
What is number one?
It's so good.
It was released.
I couldn't believe
number
it.
Number one, Jane. Went straight to number one.
Couldn't believe how good it was.
God, I just love talking music.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that you were such a huge fan.
That's
you want to go into baseball right now?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go. Bryce Harper.
The Cubs have problems. Yes. Are we going to get Bryce Harper? Yeah. Like, what's going to happen here?
Can you imagine if they did?
I don't know if it's going to happen. They have some problems about trading Bryant, and well, they're not going to. Are we going to keep Joe after
the
next
franchise
season?
Player. I don't know about Joe. I think that there were kind of warning shots from Theo about we need to focus and we need to you know, that kind of stuff. And Joe, you know, it's like, let's bring a circus clown to the clubhouse and let's have, you know, his petting zoo in the outfield. I think if you are winning championships, you can do that. If you're failing in the playoffs, and, you know, that's when I think ownership is kind of putting the hammer down and saying, if there's no results, then we need to buckle up and contracts coming up. I don't know. I just think, you know, nothing is a guarantee, but it's crazy because I always say that Chicago's so amazing because we support our own more than any other place. You know what I mean? Like, say Joe Madden goes to the Yankees, people will poop on him for a year or two and then, you know, finally accept him. Whereas here the next day, everyone has like the jersey on of the new player. You know what I mean? Everyone will
look
have
at Coach Q.
Everybody in the city will have a Bryce Harper jersey.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that's what is so cool about the city. You know what I mean? It's just, it's so great because
we love our people.
We do. We want them all to succeed.
We hated Dennis Rodman. As soon as he became a Bull, you see the jerseys popping up everywhere in the city.
And then when Jordan retired and then went and was on the Wizards, people felt like they were being cheated on. Like, this is the love of my life.
I did.
Like, he left me. What happened?
You just put him out of mind. Like, I can't believe you're doing that.
I just had this conversation with someone about Amazon. I felt like we were the college booty call, and they used us, and then they chose someone else to marry.
Yeah,
they didn't choose our city.
No, and it's funny. It's funny. I was reading articles, and a lot of people were like so outraged at how Amazon went about this whole thing. Like leading people along.
You feel
and, like,
used.
Like, who had the best tax breaks and all this stuff. And they were like, don't do that. Like, go and open your headquarters or somewhere and look like you're doing great for that city.
Right.
But the way you did it was just
dirty.
But
aren't all the big companies sort of like now deciding what they want to do, where they're going to place their headquarters?
Because they dangle the jobs, don't they?
They've done this now. Course. Other companies have done this, and not only Chicago, but the other markets as well. And maybe we did get the business here.
So
but
here,
this is how they do it.
And not to get into like politics, but just like actual governance, what do you think the problem is with Chicago losing people, like leaving, you know what I mean? Because that was a big issue apparently with Amazon, was like, we want Chicago to be a tech place, and Mayor Emanuel's been working on that.
Right.
But the state is losing people all the time, like moving
because
to secondary cities.
Because they're leading us dry in
like
this
taxes
state.
And,
with everything.
Yeah.
It's so expensive to live in downtown Chicago.
That's what people are saying. Now you can go to Indianapolis and get twice as much, and that's where a lot of younger people are going.
Well,
the tech stuff.
And during the gubernatorial election, we had J.B. Pritzker on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the questions was, what do you say to people that are leaving the state?
Yeah. I mean, it's a big thing, right?
Yeah.
Because nowadays, you can do anything you want on your phone. You can be in the middle of Nebraska, you can be in New York City. So really, it's what has good infrastructure, where's kind of a downtown where I can meet and do stuff with people, and it can be anywhere.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So what is Chicago going to offer? And as far as being able to come in and have that great entrepreneurial thing, like, I know chefs, like three people in the last year and a half that have moved to Detroit because you want to open a restaurant, you want to open a cool mixology bar or whatever.
Geez.
You've got sports teams, you've got great museums, you have everything on the lake. And it's, honest to God, this rent that we're in right now would be 20 grand here, and it's probably like five there. So you can do the food you want to do.
But it is Detroit.
There's a
it is.
No, there's
it
a resurgence
Detroit.
Happening in Detroit. I know three
I mean, the
people that moved there.
Construction right now in Detroit is insane.
Yeah, but it's on the rebirth. It's
not,
you know, it's getting. I know producers that I work with, they're all moving there.
Yeah, people always ask the next big food city. And
guys,
it's Pittsburgh.
It is Detroit.
Pittsburgh
out here is great.
Huge.
Haven't
really?
Been.
That's going to be the next big food city?
Yep, that's what people say. Because Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, Detroit, like St. Louis. Think of what you can get there versus here. Like, that's why Chicago, I think, has to continue to find a way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Do you ever meet with the mayor and say, hey, listen, I'm a big deal. I'm a celebrity chef, and other celebrity chefs want to open places here.
You know,
here.
It's can amazing. You... I remember a few years ago, I got a phone call, and I answered it, and it was like, Graham, it's Mayor Emanuel. And I was like, hi. Like, how did you get my number? And it was just like, listen, we need help with Taste Chicago. So, you know,
we got to do this. So what do you think? I was just like, yeah, whatever you need. Sure. Okay, great. We'll get in touch. And it was like, that was like
it?
The call. And
it was like the mob.
It, absolutely. Like,
did you think someone was a prank call?
No, no. But I mean, it was like, it was straight up. Because when Mayor Emanuel won his election, the night after we did a celebration party at our restaurant, when the election, the actual inauguration, same thing. So we've had this relationship. When the mayor of London came in, I was handpicked to come and cook for them at the Art Institute. So I've always loved Mayor Emanuel, and we have a great relationship. So being able to talk and say, we have this food city, what do we do? I mean, you've seen him get the James Beard Awards here.
Right.
We've got the Michelin guy. Yeah. We've got the Taste, Chicago Gourmet. This mayor has done more in like the last 8 years, you know, than anybody as far as making this a crown jewel of food. Of a food city.
I mean, so maybe true. You had something to do with that too, right?
Well,
so
I mean,
you're leading the charge for your like-minded chefs. Yeah, like, we need to do more.
And then think of, you know, Rich Melman, Let Us Entertain You, Paul Kahan, Donnie Badia from One Off Hospitality, you know, who have the Publican and Blackbird. Then the Boca Group, you know, like there's so many people here that do great stuff, and it's, you know, no one's better than Grant Atkins, like with Alinea, and the number one restaurant in the United States, happens to be in Chicago. Like, we're really lucky to have the diversity and everything from low end to high end.
Do you watch Chef's Table on Netflix?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's so good.
Is it?
Yeah, you should.
Do I need to watch that?
It is just so good. First of all, the scenery and like the footage that they film, and they go to all parts of the world, the smallest little tiny islands and one street in, one street out villages. Yeah. They're all over. They're cooking with fire. You're talking about the terroir. You're in they're farming. Yeah. And these restaurants and these chefs all have these personal backstories. And Grant was one of them last season. And they only do like 4 or 5 episodes a season, but it is just. It's so good.
That's cool. Really?
Yeah, but it only comes out once a year. So you can binge watch all 4 and you're done.
See, all I watch is Forensic Files. Because, you know what?
You don't want to look at food
anymore. You could be anywhere on the planet and somehow that show's on somewhere. You know what I mean?
And in London.
And it's like 20 years old, so they're always like, he used a new thing called DNA. And it's like, and we looked at it on a computer. You know, and you're like, this is great. I love it.
Celebrity chef Graham Elliott in studio with us. Do you hang out with the other celebrity chefs in town, like Stephanie Izzard?
Yeah, I saw Stephanie 2 days ago.
You
At this Martha Stewart USA Today Wine and Food Festival that we had over here.
That was 2 days ago?
Yeah, it was this weekend.
We were talking about that. How's Martha? Was she there?
She was there. Yeah, yeah. Her private jet was, you know, staying warm.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. You know.
She didn't stay.
But...
She's in and out.
She's nice. Yeah, she's got her thing going on.
Right.
But it's so cool to see Chicago chefs get together. And we really do, I think, more than any other city, support each other. You know what I mean? Like, we're all
right. Sarah
buddies.
Grunenberg.
She's awesome.
Love.
I love. And that restaurant is amazing.
We've been trying to get her on the air for like 6 months. She's always busy.
She's super sweet and has, you know, the chops to back it up. Like, I love that restaurant.
Yeah. The restaurant's
so good.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, you've got Rick Bayless, who, same thing, right? That chef could open 1,000 places around the world.
Right.
Everything is pretty much focused in Chicago.
Like, yeah.
He does great stuff. He's committed to the city. He's got a huge passion for making things better. And I mean, Lena Brava, the new spot over there in Rana, it's amazing. Yeah. All cooked over fire, like whole roasted fish.
Is that Rick's place, Lena Brava?
Yeah.
Oh, I just ate there. I didn't know it was his.
I don't even know where it is.
Randolph and
Peoria. Everything's on Randolph
now. Yeah, I know. Yeah. But it's really good. And again, think like Giuseppe Tantori, and
yes,
you know,
Giuseppe
he's doing
great.
Amazing. Lee Wolin, all those places are they're so good, and we're so lucky.
Who's the tall chef that I don't know if he won or didn't win Top Chef, but he lives here, and I can't think of his name.
Oh,
right now.
Yeah. I know him because he's got the new restaurant that just opened, and yeah, it's the sister restaurant to another one, and
exactly.
It's through lettuce. I can't think.
And
of
this
name
is
right
just going to be a guessing game for everybody else. So there you go.
Please call in.
Tall guy.
Tall was on Top Chef. Didn't win.
Didn't win. Has a new restaurant. That's a sister
Google
restaurant
it.
To another restaurant.
Google it. Yes. When you go out for a steak, where do you go?
For a steak?
Yeah. Are you going out for a steak or no?
Not really. I guess Morton's.
Okay.
Gene and Georgetti's.
Yeah, I love the Gene and Georgetti's.
Yeah, it's classic.
But the feeling inside there is so great.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Those
that's
are the
old school Chicago, isn't it?
Yeah. I just went to a place in San Diego. Jason McLeod was the chef of the Elysian here. Remember when we had the hotel and Rhea to Michelin?
Yeah.
He's in San Diego now, and they have this place called Born and Raised, and it's like, you know, 5,000 day dry aged meat.
Oh,
and just like, I mean, but it's all the classics. So like steak Diane and veal Oscar, where it's got crab and Bernese on it. And you're tasting this and it's like, there's nothing better than these classics. And Chicago doesn't have that. Like if someone opened a place that had chicken liver mousse and, you know, French onion soup, steak free, I would go there twice a week.
Chicken liver mousse.
That's so good.
It's the best. I don't even know what that is.
Put that on a little cracker?
Totally. I feel like I just, I gained 3 pounds just saying it.
Like sole meuniere where it's literally brown butter and cake.
What?
Get over here.
Wow.
No, just classic stuff. So good.
Well, why do I like a good Eggs Benedict so much?
Because it's rich and indulgent.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it's almost like putting warm butter mayonnaise on top of eggs.
Oh, I just can't. Like, I like go to the diner. I go anywhere. Like I try to get off the menu,
it's
do something
so
else,
fattening.
And I just get the
hollandaise. Right, it's one of the hard things to make. But literally, when you make a mayo, it's egg yolk with olive oil emulsified into it. All a hollandaise is egg yolk with warm butter. So you're taking
you're cracking the egg yolk and it's oozing all over the ham.
And you're spooning this sauce all over the top.
It's so good, but it's just so fattening. Yeah.
I'll look it up, but I cannot imagine. Like like Weight Watchers points. This pie contest was 13 of my 42 points for like the day. Like roasted chicken is zero. I could eat like 12 chickens or a piece of pie. Like
any fruits, zero. Vegetables, all zero.
Yes. Yeah. Zero. Yeah.
Which is
but
great.
It's amazing because I clearly, as a chef, know what's healthy, what's good.
Well,
but
sure.
When I look at the points thing, it really does make me switch up because I'll go to, you know, Starbucks and say, oh, I'm going to get a latte. And you're like, wait,
no, you're not.
It's six for like a regular latte or I can just get a double espresso for zero. And it's like, okay, I'll make that choice. It's just really, really cool.
It's kind of like a little competition.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everyone, I love to compete with myself. Like, I just did 500 meters rowing yesterday, and I'm like, how fast can I do it? How fast?
Yeah.
I was trying to beat the trainer next to me. I didn't win. But again, competing with myself on a machine, it's like competing with yourself putting food in your mouth. Like, how many points? Like, I want to have the lowest amount of points.
Totally. Or make sure that you get the most from it. Like, literally, like I was just saying, Thanksgiving, I could have cranberry, a little stuffing and turkey, or I can have like two rolls. You know, like, what do you want to get?
You're right.
Like,
yes.
Totally.
Yeah. That is so true. Oh. And salad dressing, you have to watch that too.
Absolutely.
That's the worst.
Totally. Like, when you look at blue cheese dressing or something like that, and then it's tossed, or Caesar dressing tossed with your lettuce.
With some olive oil.
A little bit of the dressing just to coat the leaves, because you're leaving it up to the restaurant or whatever, just pour a giant ladle of it.
I had a great ginger dressing last night.
Really?
With the leftover ginger from my pie that didn't win the contest.
there's some bitter action going on.
It is.
Through
it's okay.
I want you to,
Jane, you
got to
redeem yourself with a mincemeat or fruitcake.
How about blueberry?
I'm coming back for
Betty Ann has a fruitcake recipe. I can get it from my mother.
83-year-old?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 83-year-old Betty Ann, who you're going to see next month.
I know more about your family than mine. Swear to God.
I feel like we've gone to another level in our relationship, the three of us.
It's beautiful. Intense bonding.
Graham Elliott, you're the best. It's
so
great to see you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for coming in, man.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Enjoy your time off. Do you have time off?
Well, I'm cooking it, but I'll be here in Chicago off for the next like 2 weeks.
And you have an interview later today. Can we see it anywhere, or is it somewhere we can't?
No. It is more job related, so we'll see.
Oh, good for you.
Thank you.
Oh, I thought you meant TV interview.
No.
Oh,
you guys are the only interview. Come on.
No.
I don't double dip. I don't do that.
Jane, happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, thanks, Pete. Happy
Thanksgiving. Travel safe to Buffalo.
Thank you. And tell your family I love them.
I'll drive past Bradley University and honk.
Beep the horn.
All right. It's 720 WGN.